The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. Everybody, welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson, the host of this shindig, which we also have on YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/CBS Sports. You're listening to this pick show on Friday. The YouTube gets posted on Thursday. So if you're itching to find out these locks, or maybe fades, depending on who you're looking at, Pete, perhaps you could check that out on YouTube on Thursday afternoon.
Did you go see the doctor, by the way, this week? Or did the horseshoe pass on its own?
I was like, am I sick?
Yeah, the horseshoe pass. I mean, I think it's going to clink in the toilet at some point.
I'm a little worried about this week. Too hot. I don't like to get too hot. I like to be a nice medium.
RJ, that's a humble brag, is it not?
Jesus Christ. Look,
oh my God.
1-1 last week in my best bets. 23-12-2 on the season. Woo! 66%. I'm trying to get to that magic Pete number of 666. RJ 4-3 last week, 22-18. Still a very robust 55%. Wah, wah. Pete told me during the show, don't pick 8 games and go 1-8 or 1-7. And you almost did. 2-5-1.
I'm surprised I had 2 good ones in there after the total week I had. I was awful. 3-11 against the spread.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. You went 3-11 against the spread overall and got 2
wins. By the way, why is 666 my number? Why are you saying that, Brinson? I don't get it.
I know what it is,
but by the way, it's funny you say that because I just before one of our guys, Jack, our producer, was wearing a hockey jersey. So I told him, I said, I always wanted a Buffalo Sabres jersey with Satan's name on the back of it because his name was spelled Satan. I still will get one day.
Is it true that Jack got the sleeves hemmed on his hockey jersey?
Let me tell you something. You know, hockey jersey is supposed to be big and baggy and loose and everything else.
He's wearing
Jack's
tight?
Is like tapered. It's the worst look I've ever seen on a hockey jersey in my life.
He's wearing a tapered hockey jersey around?
I smell a Twitter poll. Should you ever taper your hockey jersey?
Or should you get your jersey altered by a tailor?
Or is Satan on the back of Prisco's jersey appropriate?
Yes.
Why are my horns growing right now?
You showed the parlay and I forgot to read it out while Pete was talking.
We had a loser. It was a loser parlay. We had 2 or 3.
Man, it was close. It was trending right. Jag Saints under hit as a win. Cardinals Falcons over hit as a win. Both hit fairly easily. Man, but the Jag Saints under never got close to hit to scoring
by
points.
By the way, Will, just before we get to the action, we were a little delayed today because RJ got a new haircut, broke the camera. It wasn't working right.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
He's
made that joke 4 times to 4 different people.
And I've laughed 4
He's
times.
He's cackled his ass off every time and nobody else has laughed.
Everybody else has laughed.
I got a haircut. You have no comments about my haircut?
You did?
From last week, yeah. It's shorter.
Does he look like he got a haircut?
Yes.
A trim, maybe.
Yes.
Trim.
I got a haircut. I mean, I'm not going to get
cleaned up. You can't go to a Wilco concert by yourself if you don't have a haircut beforehand.
That's right. I went to a concert by myself last night, or on Wednesday night.
That's weird. Lonely guy.
No, my brother was going to go with me. He canceled. Wilco's like one of my like 5 favorite bands and I didn't want to miss them. And, so I was like, you know what? F it. Hopped in my car, went out there, sat in the lawn, drank a beer, rode back. Nice, easy night.
Lonely guy. What happened to all your friends from prep school?
No one would go. It was a Wednesday night. My wife even thought it was.
He gets so hot with these locks. He's up there on a mountain by himself. You know,
it's unbelievable.
He's out there. I'm out
victim
there
of his own success.
I'm out there in a different headspace. Just thinking about, you know, getting locked in on these locks. Let's get to the games. You don't want to hear about my concert life. Patriots. Oh, we're starting with a Monday night game. How exciting. Patriots at the Jets. The Patriots, another huge favorite 9.5 points down from 10, although I think there's some 10s hanging out there. This is a game where if you can find 10, I would recommend getting 10, because personally, I think that this might be a chance for the Jets to do a little damage. And I think you agree, Pete.
I do agree. The number is too high for me. The Jets aren't going to win the game, but they will hang around in this game. I like what I saw last week from Darnold. The Patriots' offense hasn't been great. I'm concerned about their offense. I do know that defense is outstanding. But I think you give me 9.5 points with the Jets at home, I'm taking the points. I think this is the play in this game.
Yeah, and you know that defense is going to be licking their chops to get a hold of a New England offense that hasn't really looked that well. Last game of between these two teams only got over because of those two garbage non-offensive touchdowns at the end of the game. I think there's a block punt was the other one. So that's why my best bet's also the under here, under 42.5, is what the number we got on Wednesday. It's now Thursday and it's 44, so everybody disagrees with me and they're hammering the over. But I would take the under at 44.
That's good for you, RJ.
Pats have only allowed three offensive touchdowns this year, and they've scored five non-offensive touchdowns themselves, which kind of boosts up the point total that they have this year. So they're number one in points scored, but they're just 11th in points per drive because the offense isn't living up to that because of all the non-offensive touchdowns. The Jets' offense finally found a spark, you know, with some big plays. I don't think the Patriots are going to give them up with how great that defense has played, historically great through the first part of the season. So I'm going to go ahead and hit the under. Jets' defense is actually 11th in points per drive allowed, so they play pretty well as well. So I think it's going to be a low scoring game. I do like taking the points in that sense because lower scoring games with big lines, you're going to get the underdogs cover a lot of the time.
Yeah. I also think, and I'm curious what you think here, Pete, I don't think Adam Gase is going to try and tell Sam Darnold to challenge down the field with Robbie Anderson or anything. I think they're going to, I think it's Jamison Crowder, Le'Veon Bell special dink, dunk, dink, dunk, dink, dunk.
Yeah, because you have to, I think, in this situation. Sure. You got to get Bell more involved, and I think Bell will get more involved, and that leads to your under. But I just think that the Jets are the play here because their defense is going to be able to contain Brady in that offense. And you're right. You get 9.5 points in a defensive game, I'll take it.
Okay. Jets are a best bet for me, too. I take it
so
we have no
parlay. Should we put it in a parlay? Because you like them, too, RJ. You just don't love them like we do.
Yeah, I don't love, you know, picking against the Patriots, you're not going to make money doing that. So, I'm not taking the points my own. But if you want to put them in a parlay, I'm fine with that. Because I think
let's hold off and see what it looks like until we get
okay.
to the.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But I don't want to throw it in until we get there. If I sneeze, it's because I thought I was going to sneeze a second ago. I was freaking out the people in the control room there. I was like moving all around. Anyway, Raiders at Packers. Packers -4.5 over under 47. The Packers coming off a highly controversial Monday night game. The Raiders returning from London where they took down the Bears. Raiders, like, we're recording this on Thursday before the Chiefs Broncos game. So we don't know what's going to happen in that game. But hypothetically, if the Broncos were to win, the Chiefs would be 4-3, right? And the Raiders would be playing for first place in the division, which is sort of insane. Do you think they can do it, Pete? Can they win this game outright?
I don't think they're going to win the game. I don't think they'll win the game outright, but this one pains me because you guys know I'm all over the Packers this year. I just think they're so banged up at receiver. That's going to limit what they do offensively. The Raiders' defense has come alive. I think they're playing much better. I think Paul Gunther's doing a good job with that unit. I don't think the Packers are going to run away from them. I know defensively, they're pretty good. The Packers on both, you know, getting after the quarterback, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith. That's a little bit of a concern. But I think if you're going to give me 5.5 points in this game, I think the Raiders defense will enable them to stick around. I'll take the points.
Yeah, in the contest, it's 4.5. And when it gets to 4.5 in the market, if it does, Packers are a best bet for me there. I think they played pretty well in that Detroit game, aside from getting up those two big plays early. The defense really shut it down. I do worry about not having the receivers, but I don't think the Raiders defense is that good, and I think you can move it on them even if you have limited.
They play
receivers.
Better lately, though.
And, well, they have played better, but, you know, I just don't know that this is going to be as easy a game. Then they pull off a pair of upsets against the Indy team that was also dealing with a ton of injuries on both sides of the ball, not just on the offensive side of the ball. And then against the Chicago team with Chase Daniel at quarterback. And we thought Chase Daniel to Mitch Trubisky wasn't going to be that much of an impact. Well, it turns out that he didn't really look ready to play in that game. So up against Aaron Rodgers, whole different story. So I'd give the Packers 3.5 to 4 points for home field. We could talk about it maybe if you want to a little bit, Will, but I've adjusted a lot of my home field numbers down. I'm not adjusting the Packers down too much. They're still one of the best home fields in the game, so I'm giving them 3.5. And I think they're better than a point than the Raiders. And, yeah, when I looked at the data, it's like, it's crazy because the road teams have been covering it about 61%, I believe, this year. The underdogs just in general have been covering it at 61% this year. When you pair them together, the road underdogs been covering over 66% of the time. It's like 41 and 20. So it's just for the first 6 weeks, if you just blindly bet road underdogs, you'd be up 21 units at this point, making a killing. That caused me to kind of look at maybe home field isn't as big a deal as it used to be. So I started, you know, looking into the data, ended up taking a lot of my numbers down for all these kind of marginal teams that don't have a specific home field you know is going to be good, like the Patriots and the Vikings. There were only two teams that since the start of 2018 were better than one game over 500 at home against the spread. And besides those two, it was like the Bears who were just killing it against the spread last year in general. So I think the book's still out on them. Same with the Cowboys, book's still out on them. And then throughout the Dolphins, they had been doing great at home against the spread up until this year when they just stopped trying. So I think you can still count on the Patriots at home. Then you can still count on the Vikings at home. Aside from that, I'm starting to downgrade everyone.
When you talk about point differential at home, let's just throw a team out there. New Orleans. What's your point differential?
Well, the interesting thing about them is before the season, I looked into them and they actually hadn't had as much of a differential at home as away as people thought. You know, they used to be a great home field team.
Right.
And my weighted home field number takes into account 50% weight for last year, then 25% the year before, and it goes back 5 years and you kind of decrease it. And their raw number, their home field was only worth about 2 points, when in the past it's been 3.5, right. 4. So I wasn't really leaning to them as a home field anyway. I think I was giving them 2.5. Now I'm only giving them 2. And, I think some of this is it compares home to away. So it's not necessarily the home field bad. It's just, our rating is overrating the home field and underrating the team on the road. So New Orleans had been playing better on the road the last few years because people just assume that when they look at them at home, they have them at a talent level at a certain point, and it's actually a lot closer because they're home and road split.
What do you do with the Chargers?
The Chargers still get a point for home field most cases, and then you just have to kind of eyeball it. If you know it's a game like the Steelers game where there's tons of Steelers fans in LA,
it becomes a zero.
You have to kind of take into account, like maybe that point comes off the board.
Or like you give the Steelers 3 points if they're playing in Los Angeles. I mean, it's crazy.
Hey,
like,
the Steelers really do that. By the way, they did it en masse in Los Angeles, but they've done that in a lot of other stadiums too. I can actually remember a game. I was in Texas Stadium years ago and the Steelers fans outnumbered the Cowboys fans in that place.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think the difference is with the Chargers, if you took an average NFL team and you put them in the Chargers Stadium, they would have a great home field advantage because it's like smaller than it's a soccer stadium, obviously, but it's like smaller than a college football arena. I mean, you felt like those guys are running in. You feel like you're getting swarmed by the terrible towels. RJ, do you think that, how would you handle it moving forward? Like from a broader perspective, like do you think that home field advantage will continue to be overvalued? And would you keep betting these short road dogs? I like Seattle this week, and we'll get into that game in a second, but Baltimore fits the mold as +3.5 on the road, a good team. How are you treating games that are a little bit closer for you moving forward?
Yeah, I wouldn't just assume 3. Like you got the Cardinals Giants game, it was a 3-point line. You figure, oh, they're about even, make the line 3 points because everybody assumed the right line is 3 points. I would stop doing that. I kind of assume the line should be 2.5 points if they're even, just in general. What I rate every single stadium kind of on its unique terms. So I would give 2 to some, 1.5 to some, 2.5 to some. It just kind of depends. So that's kind of what goes into my ratings when I'm building what I think the numbers should be each week and kind of looking at where the value is going to come from.
You also have to look at the team. If the Dolphins played in the Saints stadium and they had fans behind, they ain't going to be any better.
Yeah, and that kind of takes into account, but you're really just looking at neutralizing that home field advantage, and then you do all that when your matchup, you're looking at it.
All right, Pete, you buy or sell the idea that home field advantage is dead?
No, I don't buy it. It'll even out before the season's over. It matters. Traveling matters.
Maybe this
anybody who travels knows it matters. It matters. It wears on you. Your body is not the same. It might be different if you're playing good team against bad team on the road. Yeah, that evens out a little bit. But if it's good team against good team on the road, it matters.
This is
it's weird. Like Warren Sharp
moved to Lauderdale. His travel wears.
Yeah, it was killing me.
Yeah, Warren Sharp looked into this, I think, before this season. Maybe it was last season. But because home field has reduced in a big sense, and started thinking about what the reasons why it might be possible. And he didn't have a lot of, I think, research to back up a ton of the reasoning behind why it could be. It was just throwing out ideas and maybe to looking into it more in general. But one of the reasons is like travel. Like, travel for these guys isn't as big a deal as it was in the 70s and 80s and 90s.
Oh, compared to then, so definitely not. And also, they're traveling smarter. They're going in early. Where they never used to do that, and they're spending time there, and East Coast, West Coast trips. It's a lot different than
and they're treating it like a business trip a lot. A lot of guys aren't going out anymore. Right. You know, it's just you go, you take care of your business. You sometimes get away from distractions depending on what kind of team it is and what kind of locker room it is. At home, you might have a lot of distractions around you. You go on the road, a lot of those distractions vanish. Right. So that reduces the number a little bit. I can't give you exact number, Howard. Like 500ths of a point is what this is and this is, but the effect is there. I mean, we've seen road teams just covering last year, this year. And then you go back a couple years before that, I think home teams were slightly better. It was basically 50-50. But it really seems like the road teams are starting to step it up and get their act together.
I've got no best bet in this Raiders-Packers game. I do lean the Raiders, though. Kind of think it could turn into a shootout. 47 is a big number. Maybe the Packers defense stinks.
Yeah, it might be that way. I would say, yeah. But with the way the Packers are right now with the receiver position, I worry about that. Alan Lazard can't run. Kumaro can't run. They're not fast. I think that's a problem against this week. So I like the Raiders in the game.
All right. 49ers -9.5 at the Washington Redskins in the Kyle Shanahan revenge game. I love the under in the spot. Really, the only thing I'm worried about is that Kyle Shanahan will run the score up, against his old employer. He was asked about it this week, and he said, he's like, what did you like about coaching in Washington? He said, my dad. I said, what else did you like? Not much.
That was a different Kyle Shanahan, too. He was obnoxious himself back in those days, talking to people who knew him on that staff. He wasn't exactly a warm and fuzzy guy either, so he can blame Washington people all he wants. He was part of the problem. And I like Kyle because I think Kyle right now is one of the best coaches in the league, and he's matured and grown as a person. But back then, he was spoiled Kyle Shanahan, let's put it that way. Used to yell at his dad on the sidelines and not so many nice words. So he's changed. He's grown up. So, Kyle, you were part of the problem too, dude. Don't fool yourself.
Kyle, no doubt listening to this podcast.
Oh, well, somebody will give it to him.
I'm sure.
He's trying to see if anybody has the cojones to take the Redskins here.
I do. I'm taking the Redskins. You know what this is? This is I'm a sucker too. Because last week I was the Dolphins, and you guys mocked me for that pick. You mocked me, and I took it. And granted, if Fitzpatrick doesn't come off the bench.
I was going to say, Fitzpatrick would come in?
But you get a lot of games like that, RJ, and I. Yeah, you do. And so I took Fitzpatrick when he came off the bench. I didn't know he was going to play, but he did. I got the win. I'm taking the Redskins here. Look, I love the 49ers defense. I think it's fantastic. I love that front. I just think on the road after a big game, coming off that big game against the Rams, I think it shows up here. They'll win the game, but it's going to be under the number.
I don't think it's a letdown spot. Washington lost 4 straight by double digits before going and beating the worst team in history by a lot of metrics by 1 point. I mean, that's not something you hang your hat on. San Fran's one of the best teams in the league. I don't see why they wouldn't also win by double digits against a bad team that doesn't have a good home field advantage. Their defense is near the top of the league in most categories, most particularly number one in pass rush. They're going to eat up that offensive line. I don't know
they played a lot of bad offensive lines already.
And this is another
one. And they got another one coming.
Yeah, this isn't a good one, but they played a lot of bad ones.
The Rams offensive line had actually been good in adjusted sack rate and not giving up sacks, and then they ate their lunch.
They weren't. So, they're not a good line.
So it turns out you're right. They're not a good line. This Washington line is much worse. So I don't have any confidence that Washington's going to score a lot of points. They're 29th in points per drive on offense anyway, 28th on defense. They basically have one weapon. So, I mean, you got scheme to take away Terry McLaurin, and then you've shut down their offense. So public loves the 49ers in this matchup. So that's why I'm not going to make the 49ers a best bet, because you don't want to just be going in on the side that all the public loves. And I think it was like 79% last time I looked. So I'm just going to lean to the Niners at 9.5. At 10, it's probably a stay away. And if the public number comes down and people start backing the Redskins, I might jump on it.
Plus, you can only get up so many times in this league in a row. And they got up for the Monday Nighter. They got up for the Rams. And now I just think they're going to be flat. I think it's going to be a flat game. I'll take the points. I don't love the Redskins to win the game, but I think covering that number, they'll cover it.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Redskins played the Patriots at home, and they got their crap kicked, and they hung around.
The 49ers aren't as good as the Patriots. Stop it.
The 49ers defense is just as good.
No, it's not.
It's got a better pass rush.
Yes.
They can cover in the back end. Tart, Sherman are playing really well.
They're not as good, Will.
Okay. Feels like 81% of the bets are on the 49ers, 73% of the money. So that's not what you like to see. Lines come back down. So look, there's some red flags here. I'm with Pete. If there weren't the Kyle Shanahan revenge angle, I would say it's a letdown spot, but I feel like he's going to go in there and be like, this one's for dad and blow him out of the water. There's no way I can take the Redskins in here in my picks leagues. I have the under as a best bet. Do you like anybody agree or disagree with that? I tend to think this is a low scoring game. Washington 7 points max, 21-7, similar to what they did to the Rams.
Like I said, I don't think the Washington scoring much because you just got to shut down one guy and nothing else really scares me about them. So yeah, I don't think
I'd probably lean to the under, which is why I'm taking the 9.5. Yeah, I'd lean to the under. So there's a
throw it in. Bet.
Throw it in.
The under.
You want to take the under as our first parlay?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Good. I can ruin the parlay with one bad pick out of the gate. 1.5. Rams -3 at the Falcons, over under 54.5, a number that actually ticked up half a point after the Jalen Ramsey trade, for whatever that's worth. Maybe it was just market movement independent of that. Pete, by the way, I haven't heard your thoughts on the Jalen Ramsey trade. What'd you think?
They got tired of him in the locker room. It finally came to a head. Here's what happened. They were going to keep him. Shad Khan wanted to keep him. He didn't want to have the situation where players were dictating where they go and what they can do. And the players were 50-50 split on him 3 weeks ago. Then it was 70-30. Last week, they turned on him. They were tired of it. You saw that Marcel Darius was joking around about his bad back and everything. So once that happened, that was it. He was gone. And they made a deal. They got a great offer, and they decided to let him go. And I can't fault him for that because he was becoming a problem. From what I was told, Ramsey and Boye were not talking for an incident that happened at some point where Ramsey and Boye, he mocked them in front of his teammates or something. And I don't know the specifics of it, but that's a bad look. And there's a lot of bad situation going on. And, you know, players, if you're not playing and they're playing and they think you're faking it, they're going to turn on you in an instant. I'm working, you're not. That's a problem.
Especially when you're losing close games. They were right in it with the Saints, and then, you know, they lose 13
and the Panthers.
Late touchdown. And the Panthers only, so it's just like, you're costing us games, dude. Like, why do we have to put up with you? If you're not only not helping us win games, you're costing us games because of your absence.
And Boye's played better since he's been gone. Mm-hmm. Hayden's playing outstanding as a nickel corner. And Herndon, after the first week, has been much better. So I understand why you want to keep him. He's a premier cornerback. But I'm also revisiting a little of my theory on the cornerback position. It used to be if you had that elite corner, you put him on a receiver, you shut him down. But the two and three receivers now, with the way the game is played, you look around when the number one receiver, look at what Will Fuller did a couple weeks ago when they shut down Hopkins. It's such a spread game now that maybe the value of that one great corner isn't nearly what it used to be. Even though you can still run combo coverages on the other side, I just think I'd rather have the pass rusher. They got more than what the Raiders got for Khalil Mack, right? Mm-hmm. So something doesn't jive there. That was a good deal for the Jaguars. They made a smart move. And by the way, the Rams in 2 years might be a bad team. They have a lot of issues.
For the next 5 years might be a bad team. They don't have any.
What I'm saying, because they have the 2021 first round pick. So next year they might be a bad team. They have issues. Mm-hmm. Whitworth will probably retire. The rest of the line isn't any good. What do they do with Dante Fowler? They can't really pay him. I mean, they have issues on the down players on the defensive line.
And they're going to have to pay Ramsey. And once you pay Ramsey, I mean, you're starting to run out of who you can pay. Because you already paid Goff. You already paid Gurley.
But I will say this. The Rams want to play more man because they were lowest in the league. And from what I was told, they were scared to play man when Tlaib was in there because he can't run anymore at all. And so now they'll play more man with Ramsey.
For what it's worth, the Rams, if they beat the Seahawks on that Thursday night game, and they should have, if that kick goes in, they win that game. They're 4-2, and they got the Falcons and the Bengals coming up. I like the Falcons in the spot. I know that we talk about road teams winning, but the Falcons have to be the most desperate team in football right now. I mean,
I like the Falcons in this game as well. I really like the over in this game. I think it's going to soar past this total. I think both defenses have major issues. You know, just because you get Ramsey doesn't solve it. Matt Ryan's playing good football. He's putting up big points and big yardage numbers, and I think he's going to do that here. My lean is to the over, but I also like the Falcons in the game.
I don't mind leaning to the over as well. If I'm doing the spread, I'm laying it with the Rams. The Rams are 6-1 straight up and 5-2 against the spread at 1 p.m. under McVay. Their only loss was against a great Minnesota defense. The Falcons defense does not qualify as a great defense at all. 32nd in points per drive allowed, 31st in net yards per pass attempt. What they do have is a good pass offense, like you said, with Matt Ryan. Rams just made a big trade to help there, but who knows if he hits the ground running, in there. And I think the Rams look like trash against San Francisco, but they did have 885 passing yards in their previous two games combined against two teams that are solid, at least the Bucks and the Seahawks. So I think the Rams are going to have to come out and kind of like man up after getting embarrassed by San Fran, and they're going to try to put as many
points. Didn't he throw 120 passes combined in those two games, though?
Something crazy. Yeah. So I think the Rams have to limit turnovers on offense. That's good because Atlanta only has one takeaway in their last four games combined. Atlanta doesn't have the defensive line to exploit the Rams' weakness like the San Fran did. So they're 32nd in adjusted sack rate, worst team in the league in adjusted sack rate. So I do think the Rams can cover here. I do like the over as well.
Let's throw the over in the parlay then, because I love the over. I took the over at 54, I think, before it moved up. You know what? I would even take the two team totals. I have no problem with the Rams. The Falcons team total over is covered in every single one of their opponents' games. I mean, you can just score on the Falcons. They're a bad defense. I know they'll be motivated here. I like them because they're desperate. They're at home. They have to show something to prevent their coach from being fired during the bye week. But I don't know that physically there's anything they can do to really slow down the Rams.
I don't think he's going to fire them. I don't think he's going to fire him.
But that desperation angle, didn't that apply last week? I mean, they've been terrible.
I know.
And they got to come in at home, right? They were at home? No, is it Arizona?
Last week?
Last week was at Arizona.
At Arizona.
Yeah. So they're still desperate there. I mean,
but you have two desperate teams here. Both desperate.
Rams are desperate too.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
I mean, the Rams are looking at, like, the Seahawks should win this game because they're favored. Although more of a toss-up, and we'll get to that in a minute. But, like, the Niners, they expect the Niners to win and to be 6-0, and they can't fall to 3-4 if they're giving away their first-round pick next year. Cardinals at the – so let's throw that over in the parlay. Cardinals at the Giants. Giants minus 3. The Giants, New York football Giants. Only one game out of first place in the NFC East, by the way. Over under 50.5. Pete, we both love – the over in this game.
Yeah, I don't, that number looks, scares me a little bit though, Will. I look at it at 50.5. I think it should be a little higher than what it is. So it scares me, much like the Cowboys line did last week. It scared me all week. And I was stupid enough not to get scared enough to switch it to the Jets. But this one scares me because 50.5 seems low for these two teams. I do think this is going to go over. The Cardinals are playing good offense. I mean, everybody criticized Kingsbury. They criticized Murray, and they are playing much better, and I think they have some things figured out. I think this one goes over the total.
I kind of like the over too. My best bet's the Cardinals plus 3. Giants don't have a good home field advantage, going back to the home field advantage argument. It's certainly not worth 3. It's probably worth 2 now, maybe 1.5. Are they clearly better than Arizona? I don't think so. You know, Carol, like you said, Cardinals have been playing better. Kyler's winning games with his legs like he did against Cincinnati, winning games with his arm like he did against Atlanta. It's a healthier Giants offense, should be able to score on a bad Arizona D, so I do like the over. The one thing is Patrick Peterson's right coming back. You know, his 6-game suspension is over, so you put him on a receiver, kind of might shut him down. You know he's going to be ready to play in this game. So that might be a reason why it's a tiny bit lower than you would think. But, you know, Giants gotten gashed by the run. Arizona's 5th in yards per carry. I think the biggest reason to go Arizona, the Giants offense has the worst turnover rate in the league. The Cardinals have been 2nd best. They've really been protecting the ball. Surprising with how bad that offense played last year. They know how to protect the ball now. So if they're winning the turnover battle, I think they're winning this game. So.
I like the Cardinals in this spot, too. It's not not a best bet. One thing worth noting. It does appear as if Sunday could feature rain. That would put a damper on the over-under.
As long as it's not windy, it's okay.
Yeah, maybe. Wind 5 miles an hour. Yeah.
Murray with the small guy with the small hands, dropping the ball.
Hey, put it under his arm and run. That's what he does anyways.
He's been running a lot lately. He's looked awesome lately, though.
It's funny, though, how many 40-step drops he takes in a game. It's unreal. Mm-hmm. His drops are deeper than anybody in the league. And it works.
Back there to see over the line.
I know. They're deep. They really are. I mean, Russell Wilson takes deep drops at times too, but this kid takes really deep drops.
How many step drops would you take if you were playing quarterback?
I'd take 20.
Probably.
20.
This game is not getting nearly enough play considering it's the number 1 versus number 6 overall pick. I know that the teams aren't great, but like, I don't know. It feels like this should be getting more hype.
Yeah, because 2 weeks ago everybody would take a Daniel Jones, and now in the last 2 weeks everybody would go back to taking Murray. It's funny, but it is a big game for those two for sure.
For sure. Okay, let's talk. So we're not going to include that over in the parlay then.
I would be fine with it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm in.
All right, let's throw it in. Okay,
yeah, throw it in.
And then let's get to two more games and we'll get you out of here, Pete. Ravens at Seahawks. Seahawks minus three. I've referenced this game like 12 times for some reason. The over under 49.5. Russell Wilson versus Lamar Jackson. Pretty good quarterback matchup here as well. Pete, I want to give you credit for, admitting that Russell is the MVP.
He is the MVP right now. And I have a vote. And if I would give him my vote right now, he would be the MVP. There's no question in my mind. He is the guy. Look at those numbers, 14-0. He's carrying this team right now, and they're not the same team they used to be. And I'm almost scared to think what his numbers would be if they allowed him to be even more of a passer and an up-tempo guy. So he is the MVP. I do think Lamar Jackson's been playing good at times, and I think he'll go in there. I mean, he's running too much. He's got to stop running as much as he did. I know it's a weapon, but these two teams aren't great on defense anymore. We used to think Seattle and Baltimore, oh, my God, it's going to be a low-scoring game. This one's going over the total.
You're not buying Marcus Peters?
No, this is going over the total. No, absolutely not. This is going way over. I love the over in this game.
Yeah, the 14-0, Pete said, 14 touchdowns, zero interceptions for Russell. Just his normal brilliant self, except even more so, completing 72.5% of his passes as well. Seattle does run too much, considering the team's number one in pass DVOA. I throw out those efficiency stats and you get on my case, but number one in pass DVOA.
No, that one, your eyes back that one
up.
Why
aren't you passing more?
I agree.
Case. Third in net yards per pass attempt. I don't think Peters is the missing piece to fix Baltimore's defense as well, especially against a quarterback who doesn't throw picks like Russell. People think the Ravens look great. That's why this line's three. You know, it's why it's so low. My lean would be to the Seahawks because even though Ravens are 4-2, even though they're first in points per drive, back-to-back great games from the defense, the team is 0-5 against the spread after blowing out Miami. They just don't know how to cover their numbers. Now, depending on when you bet it against the Chiefs and Steelers, you might have got a cover there, but if you bet it at the right time. But that schedule they played, and you're talking about Miami, Arizona, Kansas City, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, there's not really good teams there, and they're not covering those games. So I like Seattle. I think they are a good team. I think they're better than the Ravens, and they are one of the teams that you should still respect their home field because they get crazy up there in Seattle. So they'll show up for this game. The only reason I wouldn't make it a best bet is because Harbaugh's a great coach. He might have some you know, kitchen sink stuff for this game, and I wouldn't necessarily trust it not to land.
I love the over as a best bet, but Seattle, I like Seattle as well, too.
Yeah, I like both Seattle and the over in this spot. I don't think I made Seattle as one of my best bets. It looks like the weather's going to be, there's 10 miles an hour rain, 60% chance, or 10 miles an hour rain, 10 miles an hour of wind and 60% chance of rain on Sunday at CenturyLink.
Jeez, in Seattle, it's going to rain, Brinson? Who knew?
Did you know that if you Google Seattle weather, the first thing that pops up is, does it rain all the time in Seattle?
Oh my God.
It hadn't occurred to me, probably because it's been so effing hot here in North Carolina until like the last week, that weather is going to start to be a factor in these football games. So that might be a reason why some of these lines aren't quite as high. Maybe.
Yeah, it's a little early for the weather. It's not, I mean, you're going to get
rain,
cooler.
Rain.
You're reaching, Willie boy.
Saints Bears. Actually, you know what? Do you have anything you like in best bet category on the Saints Bears, Pete?
No, but I know what you guys are leaning. I'm with that. So yeah, I mean, you know what? Throw it in. I'll take the Saints too. I love the Saints too.
All right. Well, let's just talk about that game then. I like the Saints. Again, I mentioned it last week. They're covering machines in October. I know that's random. Whatever. I just think they start to get things going. Teddy Bridgewater is playing really well. He's playing some good football. He's making some big boy throws. Alvin Kamara did not practice on Thursday. That is a concern. I don't think though that they're, I like this under a lot too. I liked it when it opened up at 40.5. I don't know if I'd take it at 38. I just think if you're going to give me points with the Saints and Sean Payton and how well their defense is playing against either Mitchell Trubisky or Chase Daniel, and with the ability to run the ball effectively, no Kyle Long, no Akeem Hicks missing. You got some big pieces missing for the Bears. I like the Saints catching the points here.
I do too, and I know you do.
Yeah, Kamara isn't a guy that moves the line. He's a great running back, but running backs generally don't move the line. You're not gonna move a line off that. So that, I don't think that comes into play as why it's Saints plus three. I don't get it at all. I think when you make the line Saints plus three, you're saying the Bears are a better team. Who thinks that? You know, the Saints are 5-1, winning games with Teddy Bridgewater, winning defensive battles. When he needs to, he'll go off against Tampa Bay. You know, I was dogging him the first couple of weeks because it was all very short passes. It was all no risk stuff, but they were winning games and then he turned it on. So, I mean, I'm not really dogging him anymore. I think he looks like a starter in this league to me at this point. I think the best unit in this game is the Bears defense, and New Orleans offense could be hit or miss, but like I said, Teddy's playing better, so I do trust him. But Chicago offense, even with Trubisky back, is the worst unit in this league by far. I mean, who believes that Trubisky's a good quarterback at this point? He's not going to come in and fix this offense based on what we saw before that. They've had no 300-yard games total yet, not just 300 passing yards, no 300-yard games on offense yet at all. The one time they scored a lot of points, they turned the ball, they got five turnovers, and I don't think Saints are going to do that based on how Teddy's been playing. So New Orleans has a third best turnover rate on offense. New Orleans has held three straight solid offenses under 260 yards. Like I said, the Bears don't get that many yards. So the Bears aren't getting yards. They're not getting points. Saints are going to win this game.
All right, let's throw the Saints in the parlay then. Here is the
so what do we got,
six.
A four? What do we got, a four-team parlay?
Oh, here's my best bet.
There we go. We got the Jets. I got bad teams. Jets plus 9.5, Redskins plus 9.5, Raiders plus 4.5, Falcons plus 3. I love the over in three games, Atlanta, L.A., Arizona, and New York, Baltimore, Seattle, and I love the Saints as well. So, look, I got to start picking games. I got to get back into the race here.
Look, if we're being honest, how many games are
2, 4, 6, 8? 8, no, baby!
I like all those. I like all those. I like all those picks. I like what you got there.
Oh, God, you're kissing. As hot as you've been, you're due to go rotten, so I don't want you liking my picks. You're due to go rotten. It's just, it all evens out. You're going rotten. Just,
you know, the one, he has been due for a turn, but the one thing that saves him every week is you saying he's due to go rotten. And then the universe gives him Pete like another that. 7-3.
Maybe so. Maybe because I had Satan on the back of my jersey.
I had like a 5-11 week in week 2 or 3. So, yeah, it's noting. So we have four games in our parlay. We had mentioned the Jets. Did we talk about the Jets or the Jets under? Which one were we talking
Jets
about?
Under. Jets under.
Do you want to throw that in there too? 5-game parlay, or do you just want to go 4?
He doesn't like the Jets.
Yeah, I think I was like, yeah, if you want to do that. Yeah, I wasn't that high on the Jets.
So make it a 4. Make it 4.
All right, here's a 4-team parlay then. Redskins under 41.5. This is the pick six. What was the other name for it? Double
dude.
D&D. D&D pick six parlay. Pick six podcast parlay. Redskins under 41.5. Rams over 54.5. Cardinals over 50.5. Saints plus 3.5. And with that,
the best bet of the entire week is you will be under 500 because I just put the whammy on you.
Ooh.
And that. And I hate the whammy. You sent some people into some spirals with the whammy. all right, Pete, we'll get you out of here on that. Take a break. Pete will disappear, and RJ and I will wrap up the rest of the week. Talk to you next week, Pete.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
All right, welcome back. He has departed us. One of these days, I'm going to joke about that, and he's actually going to die, and I'm going to feel that's it. RJ White and I still here. I don't know why it's like a reset for me in my brain, but it is. Reminder to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you do that. If you leave a 5-star and ask a question on your review, you got to write out the question. Maybe it's about like a gambling strategy or a DFS strategy or whatever it is. We will answer it on the show. Or if you have a pick, like if you have a game next week that you want us to give you insight about, look ahead on the schedule. Plug it in on the review. We'll dive into it when we get through these picks. Also, check out our Facebook page. I'll be on there Thursday night. Facebook, it's like a closed Facebook group. You can join and just ask whatever you want. I'll be on there Thursday night. Answer literally. I go start at the bottom where I last left off, rip through like 60 questions, and I'll do the same thing on Sunday. John Breach actually did an AMA, Ask John Breach Anything, earlier on Thursday on gambling. And he does picks every week, and I'm sure that they're great, and he knows what he's talking about. So you should definitely listen to him. All right, RJ, moving along through the games. I got lost on the rundown. Sorry. Debo reorganized it because Debo's the best. Eagles at Cowboys. Cowboys minus 2.5. This is a Sunday night game, over under 49. One of my best bets here. I'm starting to get a little nervous about it, but it's one of those road dogs, the short road dogs. I like the Eagles in this spot. I think Dallas's defense is trash. I think the Eagles will be able to run the ball with Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders against them. And if for some reason Tyron Smith and Amari Cooper don't play, I really like the Eagles. Tyron Smith trending back at practice, I believe, on Thursday. I still think that the Eagles can get after the Cowboys. They like to run the ball. The way that they play the way they play the game, establishing the run, plays right at the Eagles' hands. And so I think you're going to see more of, quote unquote, Jason Garrett's fingerprints on this offense. I like Philly to win the game outright.
Yeah, if you can get it at 3, I don't know where it's going to be, obviously, when people are listening to this on Friday. But if you can get it at 3, I would take the Eagles, too. I would have had it as a best bet for the contest. It opened at 2.5 for the contest. That's just a lean in me. I might still go with them in the contest. I'm not sure. They lost two close games to Dallas last year. You know they've been waiting for this game. They've had it circled. This is their revenge spot. The offense for Philly actually played well in Minnesota despite that loss. They got way down early, gave up some big plays on the defensive side, and the offense was able to rally back. And I think that game was 4 points at one point before Minnesota pulled away. Mm-hmm. Dallas offense severely beat up. You know, you said Teron Smith is practicing. He's really the key to that offense, oddly enough, as a left tackle, because whenever he's out, they just go in the tank offensively. I'm not sure that they could take advantage of Philly secondary if they're missing guys like Cooper and if the line isn't whole and they can't get protection for Dak. I don't expect Zeke to have a big day against that elite rush defense like you were talking about. I think Philly's offense can have success against Dallas like you do, because Dallas defense is 25th in DVOA. Depending on the Friday injury reports, even at 2.5, I might make it a best bet. Like I said, I might put it in the contest, but for now, I'm just going with it as a lean for the Eagles.
Okay. Texans, Colts minus 1, over under 47.5. Colts coming off a bye. Texans coming off a huge win in Kansas City. I'm a little surprised they're not favored here.
Colts also coming off a big win at Kansas City. You know, both of them just beat the Chiefs.
Oh, true.
So,
good point.
I was more impressed with Houston in those two games, though. Houston outgained Kansas City 472 yards to 309 yards. They won the first down battle. They had 35 first downs to the Chiefs 20. Indy, those numbers weren't quite as good. 331 to 324, basically even in the yardage battle. And then 7 more first downs to them. I think teams try to beat Houston with the run. They've had the 4th most carries against so far and 29th in pass attempts. But Houston hasn't allowed a 100-yard rush in 4 games. So teams just keep running on Houston, and they just keep giving up a little bit, but not a lot. They're 11th in rush DVOA. So if the Colts try that, I'm not sure they have as much success. Indy's defense has struggled this year. We'll see how healthy it is coming out of the bye when the injury reports come out Friday. But I don't think they can handle a well-rounded Houston offense that ranks well both in rushing and passing. So if you're still missing a few key players on the Indy side, I would lean to the Texans +1. We'll look at the injury reports on Friday.
Okay. I will take the Colts in this game, because I just think I'll take Frank Wright with 2 weeks to prepare in a huge game in the division. Everyone's going to be on the Texans here because of that win. So I will personally take the Colts here, but I don't think it's a best bet. Chargers at Titans. Uh-oh, a little head-to-head action. Got you in the head.
I can't believe you're taking the Titans.
I can't believe I'm taking the Titans either. Chargers at the Titans. Titans minus 2.5. Over-under is 39.5. This game sucks. You don't want to watch this game. Don't watch this game. They stink. The Chargers stink. The Titans stink. They're both terrible football teams. Chargers have 7 points in the last 8 quarters. That is pathetic, but not quite as pathetic as the pathetic clown show that is the Los Angeles Chargers. They are a joke. They are terrible. They have no protection for Phillip Rivers. I know Russell Okung is coming back. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be 100% or, you know, great football shape to return. And their defense can't stop anybody. If you take out the, Dolphins game, Like the last 2 weeks, they've been giving up like 5 yards a carry, right? And I think that this is a game where Derrick Henry runs wild, and then the pass rushers pin their ears back, and it's another bad day for Phillip Rivers, who contemplates retiring to his 42 children after this game.
You think they can't stop anybody? You think they can't stop a Tennessee offense that looks horrific? I don't care if you switch the quarterbacks. It's not the quarterback's fault. The play calling is terrible. They run up the middle on first down. They run up the middle on second down. They throw a short pass on third down short of the sticks, and then they punt the ball. They just punt the ball over and over. There was a a meme or a GIF or something that was on Twitter, going around Twitter this week, of an orca like punting a seal like 80 feet in the field or something. It's some crazy thing everybody was sharing, and I immediately thought of the Titans offense because that's all I saw from them over and over. They lead the league, the reason I hate them is because they lead the league in protecting the ball. They have the best turnover rate in the league on offense, but they're 30th in points per drive. That means they're not giving away stupid turnovers. But they're not scoring points too. That means you're not having any risk in your offense. I think even the Chargers defense can stop. You know, they've had some good players on that defense. I think they can scheme and stop this defense because they just hand it to you. The Titans offense just hands it to you. I think the Titans defense could give them trouble. They're fourth in points per drive. They faced a lot of poor offenses, and maybe you can say the Chargers have a poor offense too. But we do know they have a good quarterback. I'm on Team Brinson. Phillip Rivers is a very good quarterback. He might be a Hall of Famer, but when it's all said and done.
People
are going to dog him for not, you know, even getting to a Super Bowl or you want to trash him for whatever, but they'll say other guys in this era were better, whatever, but we'll see when it comes out. But I think he's a great quarterback. Obviously, I still think he still is a good quarterback. Full home field advantage in Titans isn't worth three in Tennessee. So you're saying these teams have to be equal. I think the Chargers, Rivers makes the defense. They're the better team. Best bet for me, Chargers +2.5. I would lean to the under at 39.5. If it comes up a little more, I might play it.
I think I would prefer to have it at like 41. I think 39 is really low, but like you said, I mean, unless the Titans, I don't think the Titans are going to score a ton of points. I just think they're going to win by three
of their last four games. They scored 7, 7, and 0. And then they had like one offensive explosion against a terrible Atlanta defense where they scored 24. And it was like, oh, open the floodgates, 24 points. Here go the Titans.
Who does that say more about, the Titans or the Falcons?
The Falcons. Their defense is terrible.
Tennessee is just a bad football team. 24th overall in DVOA. 10th in defensive DVOA, though, and 29th in offensive DVOA. But you know who else is terrible? The freaking Chargers. Their defense sucks. They can't stop anybody. They're going to run down their throat. They're going to pound the ball with Derrick Henry, and the Chargers won't be able to stop them. I'm sorry. That's what's going to happen, and the Titans are going to win.
If you just run up the middle every time, anybody can stop you. You, me, Pete, and eight guys from CBS can stop you if we know what's coming.
Not the Chargers. The Chargers are trash. That is really my only argument. And you know what? The guy who like tweeted my wife after I called the Chargers pathetic.
That was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, she texted me like, she was like, "Who's Fat Patty?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "This guy." So like, if you like, it's like when somebody leaves a bad review on the podcast. Like, don't leave a bad review saying I love this podcast, but I hate how they treat the 49ers, and then give us one star. Like, what? Don't do that. Also, if I say something about your team on Twitter, just call me a clown loser. Don't go tweet my wife, man.
Yeah, it's two completely different things. Like, okay, yeah, right, the podcast thing's a bad thing. Like, what are you doing coming after Brinson's wife? Like, how much of a terrible scum human being do you have to be to do that to someone just because they're picking against your team? Nobody has anything personal against anybody's team. I've been a Bills fan for forever. I don't hate the Patriots. I hate that they win so much, but you know, I don't wish ill will on them. I'm not hoping that Tom Brady breaks his leg every single play, as far as you know, but like, I don't want bad things to happen to these players. Why are you coming after people's wives? I mean, come on, grow up.
Also, like, I'm the Chargers fan. I'm the guy rooting for the Chargers. You follow me on Twitter, you don't know that? And then this clown's out there, he's like, put Tyrod Taylor in, might as well. It's like, you're a loser. Speaking of the Bills, they are 17-point favorites over the Dolphins. What do you do? I don't know. This is a harder game to pick than the 49ers Redskins, I think, because the Bills shouldn't be 17-point favorites, but I mean, I can't take the Dolphins like catching 17 here. I know, I bet you probably will though.
Stay away. That's what I'm going to do. You can't lay the points with the Bills. Their offense doesn't look anything. This really stinks of that Vikings Bills game where the Bills were underdogs by 16.5, 17, whatever it was. They somehow won the game just because comedy of errors. I mean, you could really see Josh Allen engaging in a comedy of errors at some point and just giving the game to the Dolphins. I wouldn't rule that out. But I'm not going to play the Dolphins because I just can't. You know, I've played them twice in the Super Contest. It's bitten me both times. I'm not going to do it again. My lean would be to the under on 40.5. They did have a spark with Fitzmagic, but he was terrible before that. I think 10 points against Baltimore and 0 points the next week, and then he was benched. It's not like he's the answer. Buffalo second in points allowed. Nobody's top 17 points against Buffalo. I don't think the Dolphins are going to be the first team to do it. Buffalo's offense is built around rush efficiency. They're 8 and in DVOA with the run and 29th in the past. So Buffalo's played a lot of bad teams and only once went over 40. So just because they're playing a bad defense doesn't mean they're going to score a ton of points. So give me the under here at 40.5. It's going to be one of those ugly 27-7 games.
Yeah, I like the under as well in that spot. I think there's and let's look at it's not a real podcast unless I am Googling while we're doing the podcast. Orchard Park. Oh, it's going to be nice in Orchard Park on Sunday. 63 degrees.
We think. I mean, we're taping this on Thursday, and weather can change. Like, you know, you have
sure.
to check that
yeah, it could start raining.
In the
yeah,
next couple of days. So 72 hours away from these games, you don't really know much.
Yeah, I think if you're going to take the Dolphins, like I know we heard our boss, Port, talking about taking the Dolphins money line. I mean, don't do it, Port. If you sprinkle it if you want, I guess. I agree with you. Just take the under. Like the Dolphins are not going to score against this Bills defense. They're just not. I don't care if it's Ryan Fitzpatrick revenge game or Josh Rosen coming in at halftime. Just don't do it. But I do think the under is probably a safe play. 20 to 7.
Something.
And the Dolphins
something.
Cover something like that. Yeah. All right. Vikings at Lions. You know where I'm going here. Vikings -1 in Detroit. Over under 45.5. Look, I'm a little worried that everybody will be on the Vikings because they thrashed Philly and they're looking great. And, you know, Detroit did look pretty good on Monday night, but it's a short week, heartbreaking situation. They're coming back home. I don't think this is a spot where, the Lions necessarily have a great home field advantage. And I don't think this is a game where Kirk Cousins is scared to play a winning team or whatever the crap narrative is. The Lions defense is much better than it was. Matt Patricia's doing a really good job with it. Again, this team could be in first place in the division. I wish they were. They should have gotten it. They should have got that win against Green Bay. But Minnesota can run the ball effectively, and I thought we saw that you can run the ball against Detroit in that Green Bay game. So I like Minnesota to run the ball. I think that will set up more play action for them, and I think they'll push the ball down the field. And that this Vikings defense is legit, RJ, and I don't think Detroit will score on them as easily as they did early on against Green Bay.
Yeah, you think you're mad that they got screwed out of that win and that they should be in first place? I have a ticket on them at 10-1 to win the division. And I demand that the NFL officials reimburse that money and pay me out because that was atrocious in that game. My lean would be to the Vikings here. My better lean's probably to the under. Under's 25-16-2 in Vikings road games under Zimmer. Both these teams are better on defense. Detroit's been great passing the ball efficiently, but they don't do it enough. They're 9th in rushing attempts, overall, but they're 4th in DVOA passing. So, I mean, why aren't you throwing the ball more just like with Seattle? Minnesota can run on Detroit's defense, 28th in yards per rush allowed, 17th in DVOA. Minnesota's defense is 6th in DVOA and points per drive overall. They're well balanced defending both things, so I don't think you can really attack one part of their defense or the other. I do think the Lions are underrated, but it's going to be tough to come back from that. They feel they got screwed, and they're ahead probably even now. We're recording Thursday night. They're still thinking about how much they got screwed instead of focusing on the task at hand, and that's how you get embarrassed at home. So my lean would be to the Vikings here. I'm going to think about playing it maybe a little bit more over the course, but yeah, the Vikings are also high stock too. So probably lean to the Vikings, but I like the under better.
Just to add on to that under call, I like that idea because the Lions are actually 5th this season in terms of opponents' red zone scoring, and Minnesota is 8th. Minnesota's at 50%, Detroit at 45% in terms of, you know, red zone scoring. Last 3 games, Minnesota is allowing 28.5% in terms of red zone scoring. So that is 3rd in the league. That's really good.
And we know how much the Lions like to kick field goals. We saw that on Monday.
Exactly. And then you add in the fact Detroit at 54% over the last 3 games. So I would not be surprised at all if this turned into a kick fest. And if that happens, the under looks very good. I like that call. I'm not going to ride your – did you have that as a best bet?
I didn't have it as best bet. I just had it as a lean.
Okay. My son's doing something in the kitchen. My
I tried
son,
to
by
go
the way,
too crazy with best bets because I knew Pete was going to have 11 of them or whatever he did. So I wanted to give him a chance to catch up.
My son refused to go in the grocery store today after my wife picked him up at school. And he's like, I'm not going in. She's like, you're going in. She got out of the car, walked around to get him. And he'd like, by the time she got around to the other side of the car, he climbed up to the front seat, taken off his seatbelt, climbed up to the front seat and locked the door. And was holding down the lock button. She was like pressing the keyless entry and like could not get him out of the car.
was freaking out. Fortunately, somebody was there who could like watch the car while she ran it. Like somebody she knew from the neighborhood was there. She could run in, ran in, grab the stuff, came back out. And then he finally acquiesced and he took the button, took his hand off the button, let her in, but then she got home and did the same thing. He locked her out of the car when he got home too. He's sort of in the hot seat. Or in the old doghouse with my wife right now.
Yeah, he sounds like he would be a perfect if he wants to. You want to make him an official for the Packers game there. he likes to cause trouble just for no reason.
Just pressing buttons for no particular reason. Jaguars at Bengals. Jaguars -3.5 at Cincinnati. Man, this line stinks. I think because the Jaguars are the better team. Clearly, Cincinnati's terrible. They're going to be missing their top corners in terms of Dre Kirkpatrick and William Jackson. Darquez Dennard coming off the pup. He's going to be their best guy, but he's really only good in the slot, I think. Over under 44, that's a low number. Both these teams get hemorrhage points or yards on the ground. I want to say that I like the Jaguars here, but it seems way too obvious.
Yeah, well, we talked about home field advantage not being as big a deal. You would say Jaguars -3.5. Wow. If you flip it, are they really 9.5 better in Jacksonville or are they really 6.5 better on a neutral? But I don't, like we were saying earlier, I don't think you give 3 points for home field anyway. I don't think the Jaguars are a great team with what they've shown, but we go back to what Pete said earlier about the Jaguars, kind of the players turning on Ramsey, wanting that situation resolved. Now he's gone. That has to be a little weight off their chest. Maybe they rally around and play better now. Now that they don't have to deal with that situation anymore. Minshew had his worst game of the season against elite defense last year. This is a get right spot. You can lean on the run against them. 30 yards per attempt is what Jacksonville is, and they can be able to run all over the Bengals. Cincy's D is 32nd in yards per attempt allowed, 29th in net yards per pass attempt, 31st in DVOA, just ahead of Miami. So, I mean, if your defense is only better than Miami, you don't have a great defense. Jacksonville is vulnerable against the run, but Cincy isn't running the ball well. You know, I think last week they had 8 carries for 10 yards for Mixon or some low number like that against a Baltimore defense that isn't great. I think the Jacksonville defensive line is the difference maker here. They're going to give that bad Cincy offensive line all they can handle. I don't know how Dalton succeeds in that sense. Cincy had that first good game in Seattle, they almost won, and that kind of threw us off their scent. But since then, they've been outgained by their opponents by these yardage numbers. 255 yards the week after, 110 yards, 151 yards, 144 yards, and 247 yards. They're not even coming close to keeping up with these teams. And in a lot of these games, they're behind and they have to catch up. You would figure you'd get a lot of yards in that sense, but they are getting outgained over and over. My only worry, like with the other game we talked about was San, I think it was San Fran. The public is all over the Jaguars. I think this is a fair line. I think Jacksonville is going to cover 3.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, look, the Bengals are 0-6 and they needed a late touchdown to stay within 10 points against Baltimore. They needed two like touchdowns in the last 10 minutes of the game to come back and like keep it close against Arizona. The Pittsburgh game was humiliating that was on the road in Pittsburgh. Excuse me. But I mean, still humiliation. I don't even remember what happened in that Buffalo game, but yeah, I mean, like
they were down there and they had to come back, I think. And then Buffalo won it at the end.
That Seattle game messed everybody up out of the gate. Mm-hmm. That was like that was the week one aberration where everybody's like, oh, since he's better on defense than we think, they can get after the passer. Leonard Fournette.
Part of that is that Seattle, their defensive line was missing a ton of people. They had just traded for Clowney, so he wasn't playing 100% of the snaps. He was still learning everything. Ansa was still hurt. Reed was still suspended. So, I mean, they didn't really have anybody to get after Dalton. Dalton could do whatever he wanted, so he sat back there through for what was like 430 yards. All of a sudden, John Breach is making terrible bets on your podcast and thinking that Dalton actually can light up and break Mahomes' record or whatever that stupid bet was. And, yeah, it was just a thing where it was because Seattle wasn't holding yet, and they threw us all off the scent.
Cincy giving up 184.5 rush yards per game, 5.3 yards per carry, both numbers significantly worse than the Miami Dolphins.
Right. And in when Jacksonville struggled lately, it's been what, Carolina? It's been New Orleans. Those are really good defenses. That's when where Minshew's going to have to take into his hands and win some games if they're going to win. He doesn't have to do that here. Just run the ball with Fournette. Run straight. You're going to get 150 to 200 rushing yards, and you're going to run away with this game like 24-3 or 31-10 or some crazy thing like that.
And I think that Jacksonville defense could be a little motivated to throw it in Ramsey's face this week against a team that stinks on offense. So yeah, I'm with you. I like the Jaguars here. I think I like the under as well. It's come down a couple of points. People might lean over because these teams are bad on defense, but I think it's a Fournette lock for net in every one of my DFS lineups. All right, let's get to our recap. Oh, do we want to do a teaser or we want to recap?
Whatever you want to do.
You got a teaser? What's your teaser of the week?
That's a good question. I don't remember. I wrote it 2 days ago. Let me open the article right here.
Let's recap while you look. Here are Pete Prisco's best bets of the week. He likes the Jets. Okay, he's got some stankin' dogs. Jets plus 9.5 against New England. I like that one too, though. Redskins plus 9.5 against San Francisco. Oakland plus 4.5 at Green Bay. Man, that line is rancid. Atlanta plus 3 at home versus the Rams. Atlanta over 54.5. I told you that we love that one. Arizona over 50.5. Baltimore, Seattle over 49.5. And New Orleans plus 3.5 at Chicago. He might go 8-0 this week. RJ, your best bets are?
I have Arizona plus 3 at New York. I have Green Bay minus 4.5 at home against the Raiders. I like the Chargers plus 2.5 at Tennessee. I like the Saints plus 3.5 at Chicago. And I'm going under on New England, New York, under 42.5. And teaser of the week, Texans plus 7.5 at the Colts. I think those teams are close. I don't think either of them is going to win by more than a touchdown. If one does, it's going to be the Texans. And then tease that Patriots game down. Don't really love him at 9.5. Love him much more at 3.5. When they've been favored by more than a touchdown on the road since the start of 2016, they failed to win by at least 4 points just twice in 13 tries. Both of them were those weird Miami games. That includes 3 games on the road against the Jets where they've won by 5, 7, and 14. So even if they're winning by 5 or 7 here, we're still going to cover on this teaser.
I like it. All right. And my best bets of the week are, I got too many flirting with disaster. It's getting hot. I should have pulled back a little bit. Oh well. Going head to head with RJ, Tennessee minus 2.5 against the Chargers, Minnesota minus 1 at the Lions, Philly catching 2.5 at Dallas, New York, the Jets plus 9.5 on Monday against the Patriots, the Saints plus 3.5 at Chicago, the Arizona over, San Francisco under, and the Tennessee Chargers under as well. So I don't know if that's even correlated, but I like that under. If I had to do a 7.2 game teaser?
Sure.
Sure, you can do whatever you want, Will. This would be 100. If you risk 100, it would pay 76.92. Give me the Patriots minus 3. And the 49ers minus 2.5. And you can probably get the Patriots to 2.5 as well. I think that's a great, I like that teaser where you get the Patriots and the 49ers to 2.5 each. Two road teams, but the huge lines. Is that insane?
Yeah. Nobody's ever gone around taking the last two undefeated teams to both win by small margins. So we'll see how that happens.
Are you being sarcastic? You're being sarcastic.
No, I'm being sarcastic. Like, okay. San Fran's got to lose at some point. Patriots aren't going to go 16-0. So I don't know. Just kind of seems to be tempting fate season both. You would think that that's going to cover. Like, I really like playing that just in a bubble. Just, I don't know. It's just one of these times. San Fran's going to lose a game they shouldn't lose, you know.
It does feel a little obvious. And plus, like, Pete's got the other side with the points. So yeah, maybe not. You know what I'll do instead? I will, I'll just pass on there and I'll just tell you about our parlay. I'll post the teaser. You can read my best bets on the website too. And you can, if you want, you can see, we'll have a teaser and a parlay post up there as well. Parlay, Redskins under 41.5, Rams over 54.5, Cardinals over 50.5. And we also have the Saints plus 3.5. That is the D&D Pick 6 podcast parlay of the week. Bet it. Put like, you know, $10 on it. Tweet us your pictures of your tickets and we'll all dance when it finally hits in week 7. RJ, it's fun as always, buddy. We'll talk next week.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9/8 Central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.